Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I know you're familiar with this story. Comes out almost every year, long about stewardship time. I can tell you what a favorite it is of preachers, because I did not confer with my brother Bob Simmons, who is, of course, in Italy right now celebrating his anniversary, and he was preparing his next sermon, and he got the bulletin all done, and I went ahead and I did this one, and I gave it to Marta, and she said, "Well, do you realize that you and Bob are preaching the same text?" I said, "Well, do you realize that Bob's coming second?" So he can change his. So we'll see what goes on. No, I love this story. You know, there's so many parallels here. I mean, I heard anew, almost like I never heard it before, when Eileen read, "Then he went away." You think about that. Think about that in terms of Jesus. And he's gone for a very long time. I mean, there are so many things about this story that just fit into the story of Jesus and into our story as well. So I want to explore this morning. Jesus, oh, wow, I have a possibility here. How's that? Thanks, Arlene. Jesus' parables are complex. I don't think that's probably a surprise to anybody. They pretty much threaten to burst at the seams with meaning. They're always really interesting to teach, like in a Wednesday night setting where you can really dig into them, because there's so much material in there, it's just almost impossible. You can take the simplest of parables and you can spend an hour on it and not exhaust it. And this one is most certainly the case. But this morning, we only have time to look at the bare outline of what's going on here. We have a lot going on this morning, as you've already seen, a lot to celebrate here. So here it is. Here's the outline. The master, he's going away. And he gives different amounts of money to the three servants, to each according to his ability. Right? That's what the text says. To each according to his ability. Two of them take a chance. They risk what they've been given, and they earn a reward, and ultimately they're praised. They're praised. The third has much less to lose. He's only got the one talent, and yet he's fearful. That's what the text says. He's fearful, and so he protected it. He dealt with it very conservatively, if you will. He buried it, and when the master returns, this third guy alone is judged harshly. Now, when I first came to this story many, many years ago, I remember reading it going, I don't get it. These first guys could have lost everything. They could have had bad judgment and put the master's money at risk and lost it all, and he'd come back and they'd have nothing. The first guy, he at least preserved the money. But I've come to understand it in a much broader way, in a much deeper way, and I want to share that with you today. So what's this all about? The first two could have screwed up and lost everything? Yeah, they certainly could have. They certainly could have. They put it on the line. The third guy, he only sought to hang on to what he'd been given. Just a straight exchange, if you will. So maybe our story is more about vocation than it is about investment. I think that's where we have to land. Maybe it's about what it means to live into the gifts that God has provided each of us. Seems that in the strange economy of God, each of us is entrusted with talents in varying amounts to exercise for the good of Christ's coming kingdom. Each of us entrusted with talents. Look around. We are a small community. We know one another. Look around this room. Look at your brothers and sisters in this room. Look from online. Look at all the talent, quite literally, that is in this room. I could go through here, because I think I know virtually everybody in this room, And I could describe talents to each person as we went. There is nobody here that's bereft of them. There's nobody here that isn't an asset to this community. There is nobody here who doesn't have something to share with the rest of us. Something that typically we don't have because it's their individual talent. The great mistake that we often make is not risking what we've been given. Sitting back, sitting on our hands, relaxing, and saying, he'll do it. She'll do it. The failure, you see, is in breaking even. Sitting on our talents, burying our talents, not putting our talents at risk and to work for the Lord who has called us to do so, for the Lord who gave them to us in the first place. So I came here this morning to say, look, let's dig in, not dig in the ground, let's dig in the world, and let's go for broke. Let's put it all out there. Let's play big. We see that it's fear that holds us back, don't we? It's always fear. That's what the third guy said. I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Fear is the great debilitator in the kingdom work. If I give this money to the church, maybe I won't have money. If I give this time to the church, maybe I won't have time for this. If I give this to the church, maybe I won't be. It's that kind of exchange. It's that kind of logic. It's that poverty logic that says maybe I won't have enough. It's that poverty logic that doesn't trust the Jesus from whence it all came in the first place to replace it. Jesus loves it when we get risky. We see that in this story. So go for broke. Go for broke. What if we use up everything we have? I've been known to be a betting man in my time. And I'm going to tell you one of the safest bets you could possibly have is that Jesus would restore it if he used it in his name. Anne Lamott, one of my favorite writers, you've heard me talk about her before, she tells this great story. It's about an 8-year-old boy and his 6-year-old sister. The sister is very ill. She's got kidney failure, and she's going to die. There's nothing more that they can do with the kidneys that she has. So they come up with a plan to secure a kidney donor, and they search far and wide, and they can't find one. They can't find a match. Till finally her brother says, well, what about me? What about me? And they test him, and he's a match. But they say you're only 8, and it's small, and your body is small, and you might not make it through. You might not recover. The boy... You see, the boy only knew one thing. He knew that he had a gift that he could give his sister, a gift that had been given to him, a gift his sister needed. And he said, let's go. Let's do it. Imagine the fear he must have felt thinking that this could cost him his life. But still, he laid down on that gurney. And still, he watched that needle slide into his arm as they anesthetized him. Still, he let them cut him open and take that kidney and put it in his sister. That boy went for broke. What about you and me? Nobody's asking for your kidney. We're asking for something else. We're asking for your soul. We're not just asking for your money. We're asking for your commitment. We're asking you to become a church member. We're asking you to become part of the great thing that Jesus is doing here. Please, I'm begging you, don't bury your talent. Go for broke. Put it out there. In this season, when we celebrate the great gift that this church is, we see that FHPC provides a platform. It provides a platform. It encourages, it empowers us to invest what talents that we have been given in whatever kind and amount we've received for the growth of God's kingdom here in Fountain Hills and in the world all around us. I think God has in mind that each and every one of us who belongs to this church should share their talents. And I thank God for each and every one that belongs to this church. And I thank God for all of us together who are joined in investing ourselves in making it what it gets to be in the hands of our Master, Jesus Christ. In the coming weeks, you'll be hearing from some of our family members about what this church has meant to them. I think Jesus' story tells us what it means to God. The issue isn't the size or the quality of the gift. That's not even in sight here in this story. It's what we choose to do with it, how we choose to put it at work, how we choose to put it at risk, how we respond to the one that gave it to us. The message is clear in the case of the three servants this morning. We've been given gifts, and with them we've been given responsibility. And with them we've been given opportunity. And with them we've been given possibility. Possibility to build the kingdom that Jesus put before us. The kingdom that Arlene described as Jesus stood by that Jordan River and pointed at that rock across the way and talked to his good friend Peter. This church that he was going to build, against which the gates of Hades would not prevail. The gifts we've been given are for God's work here among us. The responsibility is to use them well and fully with productive ingenuity. You have called strong leaders to this church. Leaders who are capable of vision. Leaders who are capable of that productive ingenuity. Let's get behind them. Let's entrust our gifts to them, trusting that they will be prayerful, mindful, wise, and careful in responding to God's calling for our church. So I'd like to know if we could make a pledge together here this morning. Not a financial pledge. That's coming. Trust me, it's coming. I'd like to make a pledge together as a family to put our lives and our church on the line to build the kingdom that Christ calls us to build. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go for broke. Let's dig in. Put it out. After all, think about it. That's certainly what Jesus did. Amen. Let us take a moment in silence now and listen to what the Spirit may be saying to each of us.